Hi, I'm Tara, here with Monday's Other Side Drive podcast. This is Lauren Neal's in-studio interview covering the new photo exhibit by Scott Cook entitled Artisans with Their Feet in the Mud, Ladrilleria, the Brickmakers of Reynosa, Mexico. You can view the exhibit at the Center for the Study of the Southwest at Brazos Hall.
You're listening to 89.9 KTSW. And here in the studio today, we have a very special guest joining us, Ms. Lauren Neal. How are you doing today, Lauren?
Hi there. Doing well, thanks.
Excellent. Well, we've got a couple of questions we want to ask you. There's an event going on. I believe it's tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's an event going on tomorrow. Why don't you tell us about it? What's going on tomorrow?
Okay, great. Yeah, it's something we're very excited about at the Center for the Study of the Southwest. And we're over at Brazos Hall on campus, and it's a reception for a new photo exhibition that we're doing. So the photo exhibition is going to be on all semester, and it covers the Ladrilleria, which is a brick-making industry on the border of Texas and Mexico. And we're going to have the exhibit opening tomorrow, a little bit of reception with some snacks, and we're going to have the photographer and anthropologist Scott Cook here. He's going to make some comments about the exhibit, and then we're going to head over to the Whitliff afterwards for a formal talk from Dr. Cook. So that all happens tomorrow at 3 o'clock at Brazos and then over at the Whitliff at 6.
Sounds like a fun time. Can you tell us more about how Scott Cook kind of interacted with the people of Reynosa?
Yes, absolutely. So Scott has had a long career working as an anthropologist and as a professor, and his studies specialize on looking at cultures, especially on the border. And so beginning, the photos span from about 1993 all the way up to just a couple years ago, up to 2010. And so Scott did a lot of work. He was researching books and at the same time taking photos of this process. So, he got to know all of the brickmakers, most of whom work with their families in the industry as part of the process. And he got to see really how they do their business, how they mold bricks by hand, and see the change in their communities as things kind of started deindustrializing and the communities and all the plants started going through a lot of change. So he was there in the midst of all that, getting to know these people and snapping these great shots.
That seems like a pretty tight-knit community. Well, can you tell us more of what part you play in this event?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a graduate student here at Texas State, and I'm also the first editorial fellow for the center. And so in addition to working with the center, has a couple journals, Southwestern American Literature and Texas Books and Review. So in addition to working with those, I work a lot with the center. And so, all of us together under the direction of Dr. De La Teja, who's history professor here and director of the center, worked to put this exhibit together, worked with Dr. Cook, and also set up some other exhibits to coincide with the photographs. So we'll be having an economist come and talk about border industries in October, and then in November we'll have a folk group come up and perform some songs that come from the Mexican brickmaking culture.
Are they actually from that city as well?
I believe they are from Brownsville, this group, but the material that they're performing is from that area and associated with the brickmaking industry, so they kind of have their own folk songs.
Seems close enough anyways, yeah.
As a history grad student, how do you feel like these brickmakers' stories impacts history as a whole?
Absolutely. I mean, history is always being made, right, in the present, and it's communities like this that are very important to the stories we tell about ourselves as a state, as a country, and there's sometimes the little areas that get overlooked, especially these smaller economies, something that's on the border, and not a giant corporation, right? And so there's something really great about Scott's efforts to preserve this and to study it. And I think also, we get into the economics, and especially when we get into the music, you also get a sense of culture And that culture is, you know, certainly important to Texas and to the Southwest as a whole. So, you know, that's one of the things that the center is really about.
Do you know how they actually make the bricks? Like, could you describe that process to us?
Yes, I can. So there are unmechanized plants that are a little bit more traditional, and then there's some that have, you know, modernized a little bit more. You know, when you go back to the really traditional plants, they're digging the clay out of the riverbank using really basic tools. I mean, they've got shovels and picks, and regardless of the plant, they are all forming these bricks by hand in mold. So it's an art. It's something that the workers take a lot of pride in. And it's actually a pretty intricate process. I mean, the bricks dry in the sun, and then they're taken to these huge kilns where they have to be baked. And, you know, basically, if you get anything wrong with how they're stacked or you let the temperature waver too much, then the bricks don't turn out correctly. So it's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of hands, which is why a lot of times they're working with their families. So, it's an intricate process for still, you know, being very hand-driven.
Got to have a lot of skill to operate, I guess, for that.
Absolutely.
I mean, well, so is that more, I imagine that's probably a very long and tedious process, but even if it also is an art, I mean, I'm sure you could take enjoyment in making something like that as well.
Yeah, and I think they're in good shape, so I think I think it's a pretty tough job, and a very unique occupation, definitely.
What is about the length of time to create one finished brick?
Well, the bricks have to take several days just in the kiln. I mean, that's why the worker that mans the kiln has a pretty intense job. That whole process can take several days, and before that, they're drying in the sun. If anything happens, you know, if there's temperatures wrong in the kiln, or if when they're drying, for some places, they're not very covered. If a rainstorm comes along, it can destroy the whole crop, and you have to start all over. So it's, yeah, the whole process takes several days just for a batch. But it's kind of, you see these photos, and you'll see it's amazing how much they're able to put out in the process. And, you know, a lot of times we're talking, you know, people working mostly with their hands. So.
Now, there is a lot of, I guess, violence going on right now across the border, and has that affected their brick making at all, or their market where they sell these bricks?
You know, I'm not sure about that, and that's something that I bet Dr. Cook could answer, but regardless, they have seen a huge shift, and this is something that Dr. Cook documented, and something you see in the photos, is that once the kind of construction market, the masonry market, dropped and kind of plateaued out, there was a less demand for bricks. And so part of what he documented was a lot of these plants are shutting down right now. And they're kind of becoming these interesting sites where other industries such as recycling and garbage incineration are people are kind of turning to make ends meet. So they're kind of, you know, molding into different things to serve the, you know, the local economies. And so that's, you know, that's a whole nother thing that affects these communities, right? And so I know he's, you know, really been interested in community morale in those areas. And so I imagine, you know, some of this has been on his mind as well.
That's quite an adaptation to the situation. So are all the industries just kind of in the area able to make that change if so needed?
Not all of them. And so that's, you know, that's what he's captured. You know, some of these sites, you know, some of these particularly family businesses have not been able to make the transition. And so, you know, especially when we get into having Dr. Davila here in October, you know, looking at how these people that had this thriving industry, how they adapt, right? Because they go into other industries, or occasionally they try to still kind of make it by with small-scale brickmaking on their own. So, they, you know, I think people have been pretty adaptable and really trying to figure out a new structure for the economy along the border.
Makes sense to me.
What more can you tell us about this event and how everybody can get involved in this?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's happening tomorrow. Tomorrow would be a great day to come by Brazos Hall. If you can't make it tomorrow, it will be on display all semester. But tomorrow is a pretty special event because it's the opening, and we're going to have a reception. So you'll get some tasty snacks, and also Dr. Cook will be there, and we get to hear a little bit from him about, you know, about the photos and about his experience. And then so that'll take place tomorrow from 3 o'clock up until 5 o'clock. And then afterwards at 6 o'clock, Dr. Cook will be at the Wetliff, and he'll give a larger talk, you know, really about how the brickmaking works, the people that he met, and, you know, kind of his experience of the brickmaking culture on the border. And aside from tomorrow, you know, this is part of a series that we're doing all semester long on the border and being tied to the Ladrilleria. So it goes on again in October. So it's October 15th at 6 o'clock p.m. We're going to have the economist Alberto Davila, and he's going to be talking about self-employment along the U.S.-Mexico border. And then again on November 19th, also at 6 p.m., we're going to have the folk group Rumbo Alanacua play songs from the brick border culture. So that should be some really unique songs and quite an amazing performance. They are regular in NPR, and we're very, very lucky to have them in San Marcos.
It's quite a culture immersion with that.
That is our goal. I mean, the Center for the Study of the Southwest is really all about engaging Texas State students, faculty, and the community, you know, with their culture of the Southwest, because it is so diverse and so rich, and there's a lot to play with. So we're very excited to be presenting these events and to have, you know, people come explore alongside of us.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a ton to learn there too. I mean, even just starting to learn about another culture can completely change the way you look at things and think about things too. So that's always exciting.
How can people get involved with the center itself?
Yes, absolutely. So in addition to just showing up at all of our events, we, of course, have a Facebook page. So we welcome people to jump on there. You'll see all of our events for the whole semester lined up. You know, we have several more. We co-sponsor a lot with the Wetliff and with other departments. And in addition, you know, like the page, and you can keep track of everything that we're doing from there. Also, there are scholarships through the center. There are positions like the editorial fellowship that I'm doing. And there are also kind of opportunities to get involved with the journals, right? We're always looking for people to submit fiction and poetry and even nonfiction essays to Southwestern American Literature, which is a great opportunity for writers. And we also have people review for us for Texas Books and Review. So there's a lot to get involved with through that. And we even have an essay contest with a nice little prize in it for students this fall. So we always have a million things going on, and we're also always around Brazos Hall. So we really like to engage, you know, with the community and have people as involved as much as possible.
Sounds great.
That's good to me.
Thank you so much for coming here, Lauren. It was
okay,
great.
Thank you, guys.